This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Borscht Club on ORFM, where we stir up vibrant stories, rich traditions, and the voices of the Ukrainian community. Grab a seat, it's time to dive into something truly special. Hello, how are you? How was your day? Do you know how to say art in Ukrainian? It's mistetstvo. Music is музика. Poetry is поезія. Painting is картина. Theatre is театр. We can all agree that art is one of the fundamental and unquestionably crucial elements of a developed society and national self-identity. Ukrainian art has deep roots, reflecting the nation's formation thousands of years ago. From ancient cave paintings and the first settlements to today's contemporary art, Ukraine is known worldwide for its rich cultural heritage. Indeed, Ukrainian museum collections, especially those showcasing Scythian gold, Tripilian culture, and the distinguished works of Ukrainian artists, have earned global recognition. Many Ukrainian museums, such as the National Art Museum of Ukraine, the National Museum of Ukrainian History, the Museum of Historical Treasures, and the Bogdan and Varvara Khanenko Museum, hold exhibits that draw international attention. Ukrainian artworks, particularly pieces by renowned artists and sculptors, have gained global acclaim. For instance, works by Maria Primochenko, Katerina Bilokur, Oleksandr Archipenko, Ivan Marchuk, as well as architectural masterpieces by Vladislav Gorodetsky, are celebrated in many countries. The Scythian pectoral is Ukraine's most valuable jewelry piece. The chest ornament belonged to a nomadic king in the 4th century BC. Many museums worldwide envy the collections of Tripilian ceramics. These ceramics are unique due to their intricate painted decorations, which represent a form of pictographic writing yet to be fully deciphered. The ancient civilization of Tripilians flourished on Ukrainian territory long before the Egyptian pyramids were built. An ancient painting on a small wooden panel and two etchings purchased by a Ukrainian museum in 1967 created a sensation after restoration work. The etchings were identified as works by Rembrandt. The painting, a portrait of a young woman adorned with pearls, is also believed, according to the preliminary assessments, to be an early Rembrandt. Today, the painting is held in museum storage and displayed only occasionally. Its value is currently estimated at $2 million. We could speak at length about unique finds, paintings, sarcophagi, sculptures, burial mounds, all preserved in Ukrainian museums and nature reserves. All these treasures form an integral part of Ukrainian identity, bearing witness to the nation's millennia-long history. Today, however, I want to speak about the less obvious consequences of Russia's aggression against Ukraine. The news daily reports bombings, destroyed buildings, civilian casualties, and people who were peacefully sleeping in their homes or going about their daily lives. But beyond this visible violence lies a host of irreparable crimes that Russia systematically commits against Ukraine every day: economic, financial, ecological, cultural, and more. Specifically today, I want to focus on art and history. As of June 2025, UNESCO has verified damage of more than 500 cultural heritage sites in Ukraine. By early 2025, over 2,000 cultural institutions had been affected, with more than 300 facilities completely destroyed. In just 1 year of full-scale Russian aggression, Ukraine suffered nearly $3 billion US in losses due to destroyed or stolen cultural heritage. During Kherson occupation, Russians stole around 14,000 exhibits in just 4 days. Some of them were later sold in Moscow and other Russian cities. In Berdyansk, numerous paintings and valuable metal objects were removed from the local art museum. Thousands of items from more than 30 museums are currently listed as stolen or missing. The ongoing war has rightly been described as cultural genocide, with heritage sites destroyed or endangered, and vast losses including artworks, libraries, archives, and theaters across Ukraine. Russia has not only stolen everyday items from occupied territories, but also looted Scythian gold, paintings by Ivazovsky, and ancient manuscripts from libraries. This is not merely looting. It's an attempt to erase identity, to pretend Ukrainian culture never existed. But Ukrainians are courageously resisting, risking their lives to evacuate ancient statues, hiding paintings in cellars, and breaking up museum exhibits. One notable example is Yuriy Fanihin, who saved 11 ancient stone statues from Zaporizhia region. Each weighed hundreds of kilograms. These artifacts were treated like wounded soldiers, carefully evacuated to a museum in Dnipro for conservation and future restoration. Russia is conducting a campaign of cultural genocide, intentionally destroying ideological symbols and rewriting history, installing their monuments, publications, and textbooks. In occupied Kherson, Russian propaganda textbook titled Moscow, the capital of our motherland, Soviet-era cigarettes and Russian military rations have been exhibited as part of an occupation exhibition. In occupied Crimea, mosaics, buildings, and everything associated with Crimean Tatar culture have been systematically destroyed. Experts from the Council of Europe emphasize that the destruction of architectural heritage is part of the systematic policy aimed at eradicating Ukrainian identity. Archives containing documents not only about Ukrainian identity, but also about crimes committed by Russia and the Soviet Union are being looted and destroyed. For example, around 20,000 documents from an archival department of Ukraine Security Service in the Chernihiv region, documents on human rights violations and public order offenses, were destroyed. The full-scale war has inflicted severe damage on Ukraine's archival system, with the State Archives Fund containing over 100 million records, billions of pages. Gradually, Ukraine is losing access to these documents due to Russian destruction and occupation. Today we speak with Ukrainian journalist Olena Solodovnikova, who was dedicated much of her work to investigating precisely these issues, the destruction and theft of Ukraine's cultural heritage. Welcome, Olena. And thank you for joining us in the studio today. Many people associate war primarily with destroyed cities and human losses. Why is it important to talk about the theft and destruction of cultural heritage as well?
So, war doesn't just kill people, it kills memories. Cultural heritage is the backbone of the nation identity. When Russian forces loot in Ukrainian museums, they are just stealing objects. They are erasing our memory. That's not collateral damage, it's strategy. For instance, when Russia looted from the Kherson Art Museum, they stole over 10,000 items, including works by Ivazovsky and Pimenenko. And that was not the accident during the chaos. The looting was methodical and involving dozens of buses, and all objects were removed to the Crimea. This matters because the goal of such theft is to replace Ukraine's narrative with Russians, to say, this was never yours. In that sense, cultural looting becomes a form of genocide.
In your article, you described how Russian forces have looted Ukrainian museums. What are the biggest challenges in documenting and proving these crimes?
In my perspective, there are three main challenges. First of all, lack of digitalized records. Most of Ukrainian regional museums, unfortunately, had no time to digitalize their collections before invasions. I mean existing of special electronic catalogs. And original catalogs on paper were stolen with art objects. That makes it harder to prove art objects belongs to Ukraine. And after all, 2 years ago, Russians start to provide their own catalog and include Ukrainian art object to their catalog. And that could be tricky in international courts in future, because Russian will say, okay, that is our heritage, not Ukrainian, and we need more and more proofs for that. That's why now our lawyers wanted to make another strategy to prove that all these objects are Ukrainian heritage, and collect all this information in the big case of cultural genocide and send it to international court. The second point, Russian lie strategy. And that is simply big lie, but they claim they are not stealing our art objects, but evacuated it. And really, no one asked them to evacuate nothing from our territory, but that is like a strategy of lies. They say, okay, now you have a war and we only preserve your art objects in our territory. But, for example, this is in reality our territory, but in occupation. For example, Crimea Museum, where the most of art objects which were stolen are situated now. And the last point, access to occupied territories, of course. Many crimes happened in regions under Russian control, and now Ukrainian experts and even international experts can't reach it. That limits the ability to investigate or document situation in real time. But despite the challenges, Ukrainian specialists, museum specialists have cataloged sound of missing artifacts, and they collaborating with Interpol and foreign customs offices to track and return these objects. But again, that is a very, very long way to back these items through the Interpol and through the borders. It could be political will of Russians back all artworks to us, because only 1% of these items were looted by ordinary Russian soldiers. The main stealing have done by Russian authorities officially.
How does the loss of cultural artifacts affect national identity, both for Ukrainians today and for future generations?
Actually, cultural artifacts are evidence of existence. Their loss disconnects us from our past to weakens our confidence in our future. If future generations grow up without these artworks, the risk is not just forgetting, it's the stolen our history. When Russia steals or destroys Russian cultural heritage, it's not just taking objects, it's stealing our memory. For future generations, it's even more dangerous. If a child grows up without seeing their country's history in museums or learning about their ancestors through real artifacts, they lose a connection to their roots. History becomes abstract, and when it's rewritten by an occupying forces, it becomes a lie. Actually, take Crimea, for example. Russian refused to return Asian Scythian gold to Ukraine and not displace it as a part of his own history. And if the world does nothing in a few years, people might say that it's Russian heritage and they will believe it. I hope it will not be like that, but we have a very big risk.
What lessons can other countries learn from Ukraine's experience in protecting cultural heritage under threat?
I think our case is not useful for another country, because it's useful only for countries who have Russians as neighbors. Because, yes, of course, previously there were many cases when art objects were stolen from, for example, during the Second World War, German's art objects were stolen by Soviet Union, and they still try to back it. And sometimes they pay for it for the new owners, because there aren't any connections with Russians now, but they need back their cultural heritage. And I talk with Italian Carabiners, that is a very, very big cultural unit, like 2,000 people or more, who involved in processes with back Italian Asian items at the motherland. But in this case, they use very modern techniques to find the stolen objects in the internet, some pieces of these objects, and they do everything according to the law. They sent the letters for the USA, for example, and pointed out, okay, that is our art object, you need back it. And the USA react and back it at home. But in case in Russia, that is absolutely impossible. They stealing not the some items again. They stealing the big massive. They try to steal all history and erase it. So that is a cultural genocide through them stealing art objects. So back to your question. Actually, you can prepare, of course, for evacuation of art objects to make the electronic database. But even in case you don't have any other options, but if Russians stolen your cultural heritage, this is in vain.
Do you see international media paying enough attention to cultural crimes in Ukraine, or are these stories often overlooked?
Sure, these stories are largely overlooked. International media tends to focus on bombings, refugees, and frontline battles. Thereby, cultural losses is slower, less visual, and harder to explain in the audience. That's why Ukrainian journalists from the page Ukrainian Media try to push these narratives. Our goal is to say these stories matter too, because without culture, there is nothing to come home to.
What role can journalists, artists, and museum professionals play in preserving memory and cultural resilience during wartime?
I think their role are essential, and first of all, journalists can gain their testimonies, archive crimes, and keep public memory alive. When I started this project, my dream was back some artworks to Ukraine to find it on some auctions, and for example, through our police and procurors back these items back. But it was impossible for us because I talked previously. According to museum professionals, digitalized collections and leads evacuation efforts, probably that is the goal of these people, and without their bravery, much more would be lost. In terms of artist response, for example, Ukrainian curators have used digital platforms to create and virtual museums of looted art, so it remains visible even when these items were stolen.
Are there any specific items or collections whose loss you professionally found especially heartbreaking, and why?
I think that every item which was stolen are heartbreaking for us, even a small Asian coin, because we don't talk about the costs, how much this painting costs on a market. That it doesn't matter for us. The matter is they stolen our history, and we need back it.
Russia not only steals physical objects, but also manipulates narratives. What are the risks of cultural appropriation or erasure in this context?
Absolutely. Russians' goal is not to just possess Ukrainian past, but to absorb it. When a painting is hung in Moscow and relabeled like Russian school, it erases Ukrainian authorship. And all in all people in Eastern Europe, they think, of course, that it's Russian school, not Ukrainian. And it creates a false perception, a version of history when Ukraine never exists independently, only as a region of Russia. That's why this isn't just theft, it's imperial mythology in action.
Why should people outside Ukraine care about the looting of Ukrainian cultural heritage? What's at stake for the wider world?
From my perspective, because cultural heritage is a global commons, the Scythians, Crimean, Greeks, Tripilians, they aren't just Ukrainian stories and they are part of the human history. If Russia gets away with stealing and rewriting culture, it sets a dangerous precedent that powerful countries can erase weaker ones, not only with tanks, but with the textbooks and exhibitions. And that's why we need to preserve our truth, diversity and dignity, not just for Ukraine, but for every nation fighting to tell its own story.
Thank you, Elena. In January 2023, the New York Times reported that since the beginning of Russia's full-scale invasion, Russians had stolen tens of thousands of artworks from Ukraine, including artifacts that are thousands of years old. The publication called it the largest art theft since World War II, when the Nazis looted Europe. Now it's 2025, and according to the Ukrainian Ministry of Culture, by the beginning of this year, Russia has stolen almost 500,000 pieces of art from Ukrainian museums in the occupied territories. Some of these valuable artifacts have already ended up in Russian museums, while the rest remain in temporarily occupied Donetsk and Crimea. But the fate of many items is still unknown. Many artifacts have been destroyed and cannot be restored. Since 2014, when Russia began its war against Ukraine by annexing Crimea and parts of eastern Ukraine, it has also used the looting of Ukrainian museums as a way to erase the memory of Ukrainian identity and justify its crimes. So, for more than 10 years, Russia has been looting and destroying Ukrainian identity, appropriating Ukrainian history, culture and art. In the spring of 2022, in Mariupol, the occupiers shelled the local history museum and the building caught fire. The exhibits were destroyed. What remained was taken by the enemy to temporarily occupied Donetsk and to Russian museums. Today, more than 1 million Ukrainian exhibits are under Russian occupation. This accounts for over 12% of Ukraine's museum collection, a figure announced by the Ministry of Culture in the spring last year. During the ongoing war of aggression initiated by Russia, the occupiers have plundered museums in Zaporizhia, Donetsk, Kharkiv, and Luhansk regions. It is currently impossible to return what Russia has looted. The only option is to document the enemy's crimes and catalog the stolen items of Ukrainian cultural heritage so that these materials can later be submitted to international courts. As we wrap up today's program, I want to remind everyone that the destruction of culture and art is not only Ukraine's loss, it's a loss for the entire world. Each destroyed exhibit, every museum or archive reduced to ruins represents a lost page of human history that can never be rewritten. Yet, despite these tremendous losses, Ukrainians continue to resist, rescuing paintings and sculptures, hiding unique manuscripts and documents, and recording their testimonies to ensure that no crime is ever forgotten. They have done so for centuries, living next to their unpredictable neighbor, Russia, in whatever form its statehood has taken, whether the Russian Empire, the Soviet Union, or today's Russian Federation. Thank you for being with us today on Borscht Club. Remember, as long as our stories, traditions, and art live, Ukraine lives. Cherish your culture and share it with the world. Take care. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to Borscht Club on ORFM. Stay connected with us and listen to our episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts and oar.org.nz. This is your host Оля Вязенко, wishing you joy and a delicious day ahead. До зустрічі! See you next time!
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.